Jane, and I'm on the phone with the Mystic Underground.
Hi, this is Vladimir Valette. I sing and write the lyrics for the Mystic Underground.
You guys call yourself the Mystic Underground. What makes you guys mystic?
I don't know. I guess pretty much situation where we try to be a little bit mysterious and a little left of center with our songs and not necessarily direct. Maybe you throw a little psychedelia in there, maybe, and pretty much that's the name, the Mystic Underground.
Okay, so when did you get into music, and what originally inspired you to become a musician?
I'd have to say I've been into music since almost birth. Music has always been a part of my life. Music was always around me. I think probably when my earliest memory was probably when I was around like 4 or 5 years old, and my first record was The Cure, a record Pornography. Mm-hmm. And ever since then, I've pretty much been into music. I don't know, maybe listening to Robert Smith at such a young age wasn't probably such a good idea. But nasty thoughts tend to get to one's head after listening to too much Cure, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But from that point on, pretty much, it just became a part where music just became such an integral part of my life. I just couldn't imagine doing anything that wasn't musically related, and that just lent itself to me writing songs and, you know, just really getting into the nuances of songwriting, and then I started singing, and the rest is history, as they say.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so how would you describe the music you're writing, and how does it contribute to a larger music collective?
Well, pretty much, the way we tend to describe our music is that pretty much like indie electronic pop. I guess the way we look at ourselves, we're just two songwriters who basically got together and just wrote music regardless of, you know, irrespective of any type of influences that we had. We just basically throw everything in, including the kitchen sink, to write songs and just basically reflecting what we grew up listening to. And what we feel that we bring to the masses, if you will, or the greater music listening buying public is just basically just an idea that two guys with synthesizers can still write music that can be considered timeless and influential to other music listeners, musicians, and everyone. Just put us on, listen, and groove.
Okay, so like you said, you guys use synthesizers, and I was just wondering, on a hotness scale of 1 to 10, how do synthesizers rate in comparison to other instruments?
Oh, I'd say a 15 out of 10. Absolutely. Oh, yeah, well, that's the thing. That's the secret to maintaining a good musical revolution. Mm-hmm. You decide to basically stay out of the woodwork and, no guitar, bass, and drums for us. You know what I mean? That's anarchy at its finest. The way Queen and Rage Against the Machine used to basically promote that they use no synthesizers, uh-huh. Or say no guitars or bass or drums allowed. Now, we've always been both into like a lot of electronic based music, but to simply say that we restricted ourselves away from, I guess, what you want to consider your conventional types of music, no. Mm-hmm. Me personally, I grew up on post-punk music, dance punk, a lot of new wave, and I'm pretty much a Britpop kid at heart. You know, like my favorite band of all time is the Smiths. Mm-hmm. And that's where I got a lot of my influence, the almighty Morrissey, so.
Oh.
But Ben, on the other hand, was always like, started off big into metal, which I suppose happened with a lot of people that end up getting into electronic music somehow. They either were into metal or something and just ventured into the land of synthesizers and, you know, wiki-wiki type stuff. I don't know, it's kind of peculiar, but... Yeah, but synthesizers are all the rage, so we're going to stick to it.
Okay, awesome. So you guys are based in Brooklyn, right?
I am. Meanwhile, Ben is situated in a nice little place called Long Island, which is an island that is situated to the east of Manhattan.
Okay, well, what do you guys like to do for fun? What's the most exciting part of being in New York?
Oh, geez, where do I start? pretty much the best way to describe it is that every day is an adventure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's not really any one particular thing that stands out. You could go to a baseball game. You could go to Central Park. Of course, the old adage is, if you're actually from New York, you never visit the Statue of Liberty or, you know, the Empire State Building,
mm-hmm.
or a place like that. Something as simple as just going to the park, just walking around the city streets, taking in the people watching,
mm-hmm.
And of course, my favorite pastime, clubbing. And meanwhile, where Ben is on Long Island, it's a very suburban area. There's a lot of beaches, a lot of open space, and, you know, anytime you want to get away from it, I can always go out there.
Mm-hmm.
And funny enough, that sort of ambience tends to lend itself to a lot of the influences behind our songs, at least in terms of my songwriting. And New York is just a magical place.
Yeah.
To come out.
I want to.
Yeah, well,
hey. These days.
Get out here.
All right, so The Nameless and The Faceless was your last release. What was the most interesting aspect of this album, or of putting it together?
Well, Nameless and The Faceless, that was our first record, and it was pretty much trial and error the whole way. Very touch and go, because it was the first time we were producing ourselves, and it was just weird, because we were just, because when you're doing your own record and you're trying to do, go through the recording process on your own, it becomes very hectic, because you want to make sure everything's right. You want to make sure everything that you did came out correct. And of course, you don't want to lose sight of the songs.
Mm-hmm.
But we're trying to find that balance where you're paying great detail to making sure everything sounds like a record that you'd actually be able to want to present to someone and not want to tuck away in your closet.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, write songs that you feel represent where your space, where your head space is at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we did a pretty good job with that, especially in a couple of songs that really stood out for us, one being Mary's Dead, which was a song that basically just came out of nowhere and took me about, 3 months to finally write the lyrics to, and it's just a very satisfying feeling once you get everything together, and you don't spend any more restless nights throwing up in the bathroom because you're worrying about how the song's going to turn out, or oh my god, this album, we need more cowbell.
I can't believe you just said that.
Yeah. So basically, the motto for the recording process was more cowbell, please, and less serotonin.
Well, I noticed from your EP and your last album that you guys use pretty seductive images for your album covers. And I was just wondering, where do you get these from?
Well, pretty much the idea behind them, especially with Under the Clearest Moon, that one the picture for that just came out because I was basically looking for ideas, and I came across this website, and it was a royalty-free photo site,
mm-hmm.
so pretty much I was just looking through and figuring, okay, I'm going to try and encapsulate all these songs and find an image that stands out that maybe could more or less, correspond with that. And then I found this picture where I just found it hilarious, where basically you have the people, it appeared that a girl just saw her boyfriend, mm-hmm. With another woman, and they're holding champagne glasses, and you almost get the feeling like, what the hell's going on? Like,
<Yeah.
laughs> who'd you? And the fact that, you don't see their faces, you really don't see anything else, I think that screams,
mm-hmm.
finish your own thought here. Because it just screams out, like, this is awkward.
Mm-hmm.
And for our new single, Madeline, pretty much the same thought process went into effect there. I was looking for ideas, and then I just came across, an image of a girl, basically, who looked like she was completely passed out, had too good a time the night prior. with a glass in her hand, and it fits because Madeline is a song about a girl basically who was consistently always gets sloshed and you know, and it's basically a release for her. Mm-hmm. And here, you know, the protagonist of the song, the narrator, is basically looking at her on one side, thinking of her as, like, this pathetic being that's, like, basically, hey, look, get your act together, and at the same time, is infatuated with her. And it's basically that inner turmoil as far as what he does next.
Besides the usual merch items like t-shirts and buttons, what is one item you'd like to see your logo on?
A big, giant, Clear Channel-sponsored billboard. Big, fat M with the circle, and everyone, and almost, you know, almost like, you remember Batman, like how you'd have, like, this guy, you see the bat, that's going to be us, a big, fat M.
Okay.
I don't think it gets any better than that. Everything else has been done before, but oh no. Not that.
So if the Mystic Underground were to be on the front page of the New York Times, what would the story be?
Oh, jeez. Two masked marauders rip off the local Manny's music store in Manhattan. $1 million worth of musical equipment. And get caught trying to put it together on stage. Or that we just won $1 million and decided to just donate it to someone, become a benefactor to some homeless person on the street. That will most likely be us.
Oh, that's so nice.
Yeah, we try. You know, just a couple of nice guys.
Okay, well, I noticed on your webpage that you guys use the phrase, don't deny us the right to be famous. So what makes you worthy of being famous?
Pretty much because, A, I know it sounds cliche, but I do feel that we offer an alternative to a lot of bands out there, and pretty much, quite frankly, a lot of other bands are pure crap, and no, it's just that it's more or less like our own credo, and it's just the fact that we just feel that we're confident in ourselves in terms of our songwriting and what we bring to the table, that why wouldn't you want us to be famous? Why shouldn't we be plastered on Billboard Magazine and Rolling Stone? Why shouldn't people hear what we have to offer and why shouldn't they like us? You know, it's like Eddie Argos from Art Brut Dead. It's like we want to be on the top of the pops. And we don't have any shame in that. But at the same time, of course, you want to retain your musical integrity. Yeah, that's pretty much it. It's just a case where we just want to, pursue that ultimate end where it's just like we want people to hear our music. We want people to feel the same way about our music that we do about it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty much it.
Well, you mentioned that you guys are recording a new album, so what's coming up next for the band?
We're pretty much, actually, we just finished up recording on our second record. It's called It Really Shouldn't Be This Hard, which is just the insight between us. But pretty much Madeline's actually the first single off it, and it's going to be 15 songs. So it's going to be an arduous listen for all the short attention span. It's going to be an hour long, so we're warning you right now. We just finished up recording on that, and it should be out in October.
Mm-hmm.
And in the meantime, we're pretty much booking shows, hoping to start off around the Eastern Seaboard and hopefully make our way across the pond to the UK and Europe, probably hoping towards next year.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we're going to spread the disease all over this great big world of ours.
That's a nice way of putting it.
Exactly.
All right, well, I always ask my musicians the same three questions at the end of interviews, so here they go. Do you have any slang terms that you overuse?
slang terms? man. Good question. Wow. Oh, snap. That's a good one. Oh, snap. That's something, no, honestly, that's something I say, like, anytime someone says something to me that I find completely hilarious or unbelievable, I go, oh, snap. I know that comes out, I know that sounds really pathetic, but that's the first
thing. No, it doesn't. I get so excited when people say that.
Yeah, it's like, oh, snap. No way.
Okay, what's your drink of choice?
Drink of choice. Well, I'm going to have to level with you here. I'm one of those weirdos who don't drink.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to have to go with a nice big glass of strawberry quick.
Okay.
But when I did drink, you would find me drinking. Actually, my favorite drink was this drink called the Vic Morrow, and it's only found at the Corova Milk Bar on 106. I believe it's 106. I forget. What number? Avenue A in New York City.
Uh-huh.
Absolutely brilliant drink, and I highly recommend it to anyone when you stop over Alphabet City, Manhattan. That includes you, Mary Jane. So when you come to New York, call me up and I'll show you where it is, and we'll have a Vic Morrow.
All right, will do. All right, and how do you feel about eyeliner?
Shouldn't everyone wear it? It feels great. Eyeliner, a little lipstick, some mascara, and you're good to go. Look like Simon Le Bon or John Taylor. Hey, seriously, we should bring back eyeliner. I don't know why guys are afraid. Just bring it out there.
Okay, great.
You, Mary Jane, and Pirate Pod, you guys are the bomb.
Well, thank you. You're amazing.
Oh, thank you very much.